Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Just from a team's perspective, man, we actually just finished up phase two of the off season. Very, very excited about the energy, the energy that the group showed up with to work every day. Just excited, man. I mean, our numbers went up. The participation as far as guys being engaged it's just been a little bit different. I don't know what it is. It's just been a little bit different since my time in 2016 here as a head coach. So I'm excited about that. Guys are going to be on spring break next week, and we'll be full speed ahead with the spring practice starting up March 20th. So I'm excited about that. Coaches are obviously main focus. I can't even say singly focused in, but I'd probably say 60% of their day is recruiting, 40% of their day is schemes and making sure we know we want to have our high beams on in the spring for spring practice. So got a lot going on, and then obviously, still recruiting the 2024 class and keeping our eye on the 2025s. So,
wow. Well, some fans wanted to know what kind of things do you do to prepare for spring training or spring camp kind of things?
For spring ball, and we actually call it phase three in our six phases throughout the calendar year. So spring ball for us, it's really after the season, you go through and you watch every game again. Then you break it up into first and 10 plays, second and 7-10 plays, third down plays, red zone plays, plays that we blitzed on defense. You kind of watch it all compartmentalized, and you kind of see what you like, what you didn't like. Is it scheme? Was it the way we coached it, or is it the player that couldn't make a play? So we go through all of that with every game, and then, figure out where we got to find something we can hang our hat on. What's our base? Who do we have coming back? And then you just kind of build. You start building your new team during spring practice. So those are some of the things that we look at and focus on.
James would like to know, do you change things during your spring practice from year to year, or do you follow a fairly common routine?
No, actually, spring is where you do kind of tweak some things. Last year, we had a new offensive coordinator, right? So we had to be very, very, very vanilla. So our offense is going to be a little bit ahead of our defense this year. We have a new defensive coordinator this year. So, defensively, we're really trying to find our home base, and we want to hang our hats and really, be singly focused in on defensively. Are we running to the football? Is our eye discipline great before the play and during the play? Can we get lined up? Do we know where to go? Like, that's going to be we'll be focusing on those four things defensively, and then offensively we'll be a little bit more ahead. You're right, you got an older quarterback, you got a senior quarterback, we got some older receivers in here now. The offensive line is all back. I mean, we can be a little bit more aggressive with our installs.
Ron was asking, he said, you've talked about in previous shows about the importance of protecting the ball and what you need to do to safeguard it when you have it in your hands. I know during the season you don't have a lot of time to teach things because you have to prepare for each game each week, but do you find that spring practice offers you the opportunity so that you can teach more fundamentally based kind of ideas?
Absolutely. One great point. Two, you hit it. You teed that one up and hit it right on the nose. That's what spring's about. Hey, I can guarantee you we're going to be 1-0 during the spring. We're going to be undefeated during spring, right? So if we're not really focused in on a win or a loss, like we need to get down into the weeds with the fundamentals from every position. And I'm a big stickler on stance, start, eyes. Stance, start, eyes. Stance, start, and where are my eyes? And then we got to teach them where they need to go and how they need to get there. So, yeah, you break it down, how we carry the football. What do we do with the football when we score a touchdown, right? We hand it to the official. We don't just flip it up in the air or spin it on the ground. Like, everything. Man, you can really peel back the onion on how you want your program ran. So, absolutely.
Owen says, I know that the decision on captains is done by the team, where they get to select who will be the captains for the upcoming season. But who do you see right now, if you wouldn't mind mentioning, that would be great captains for next year?
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a fair question. I tell you what, man, just from the nature of the beast and the position, Alejandro's doing a good job. I mean, I was a high school quarterback, man. I was fortunate to be the captain of my senior team in 1997, and it's a great honor. Not to say that he's going to be the guy, but he's shown some great leadership skills, running 7-on-7 by himself with the team, getting those guys organized. Jake Cunningham has been another fifth-year staple in the offensive line room, and very fortunate to have him back. He's been doing some leadership things, some nice quality things as a leader. Ethan Mills on the D-line, quality guy, fifth year, been around the block. He's gritty. Just very excited to have him back. So he's been doing some nice things from a team bonding, getting things together without coaches around. Caleb Leaders is Mr. Hamlin. I mean, he's, you know, another fifth year, another guy that's doing a great job of, you know, doing what, and any time we have recruits on campus, he unapologetically is there, you know. I think Corey Zacharias doing a good job as a young guy trying to lead. So we got some guys that are doing a nice job there. So we'll be interested to see how, you know, the captain votes go.
Next up, we have Adam, who would like to know, what do you think is the biggest challenge for a football player moving from high school to college?
The speed of the game, the size of the players, because, again, right, some high school kids coming out at 17 years old and you're on the field with 21, 22-year-old guys. So I'd say the speed, the size, and the terminology. You know, we might call a run play to the left Alabama, where in high school they called it 33 dives, you know, or 33 ISO, where we might just call it Alabama. So it's the same play, essentially, but the language is different. So it's just them learning the language. And so I would say those are the three things that are biggest transition.
Ricky would like to know why you stopped using the countdown clock in your office.
First of all, how does that person know that? Second of all, I loved it. Actually, it was something I stole from Bucknell, which actually they stole from Rutgers. And when I was working at Bucknell, Joe Susan would always have the countdown clock in the locker room. And after every game, no matter how late it was, we would go in there as a team. He would address the team. I'm assuming it's something Greg Schiano does. I bet P.J. Fleck does it too, because that's all the same tree. And then, you know, they set it for the next week right after the end of the game, which I always thought was cool. I wasn't able to execute that in the locker room, but I did have it in my office, and the thing broke, so I just never circled back around. So if anybody wants to donate countdown clock to Hamlin University, Coach Taylor will have open arms for a countdown clock.
See, it wasn't a big conspiracy when he just stopped. It just didn't work. So how about that? Charles would like to know, he says, Coach, what was your analysis on both the men's and women's teams did in the MIAC tournaments?
Yeah. How about, you know, the word gritty. How about our girls team going in overtime, man? Girls team going into overtime, and they were so up and down all year, and for them to get into that MIAC, to get into the tournament, right? Hats off to Josh and his staff and the girls. And then to play it to the end like that. I mean, that's what you want, right? You want to have a chance at the end. That's what anybody wants, man. Football, baseball, hockey. Do we have a chance at the end? And then again, hats off. I actually just walked past Coach Hayes in the weight room. He's in there getting a pump in, and you know, we just look at each other. We don't say anything. We just kind of smirk. We smile. We shake our head like, man, we were right there. You know, to beat Concordia, big physical team in the MIAC at home on a Saturday. We had a bunch of recruits out there. That was awesome. To go up to St. John's, here you go, Caleb Leaders, one of the guys, my Athol captains, hopefully he gets, I don't know if he'll get voted, but Caleb Leaders finds a way to get a fan bus to freaking go up to St. John's. We beat those guys in the last buzzer beater. What an experience for our basketball team and every student athlete and every regular student that went up to St. John's. How about that, right, on the last minute buzzer beater? And then, you know, you go down to Gus Davis, you know, you go down to the Gusties, man, and hats off to them, you know, and their football program beat St. John's. The girls won it, a basketball. The swimming won it, and we take their basketball team to the last play. We had a chance at the end, and, you know, we just came up a little short. But, again, right, what do you want? You want to have a chance at the end. So very, very proud of how the men's and women's basketball team performed and represented for Hamlin University. Got a lot of momentum. When one team wins, we all win. And I was very excited and proud about how our athletes went up and supported. Our other athletes went up and supported.
Jumping to college football for a moment, Donovan would like to know, how do you think it would be to try to replace Nick Saban? The guy's got to believe he's got unbelievable pressure on him.
Man, listen, I should know this stat. I think the dude's only lost 30 games in all of his career. Like, maybe, I think it's the record of something in 27, something in 28, something in 30, something like that. Like, that's a lot of pressure. So, you know, there's a lot of good ball coaches out there, but to do what he did for the amount of time that he did it, man, I tip my hat off to that guy. I mean, I'll be interested, you know, as much I don't get the chance to watch a lot of college football. We have a 1 o'clock game. I can get home and see the 3:30 game. I'm hoping Alabama's on a lot at 3 and 4 because I want to see what this is going to look like after Nick Saban. Absolutely. That's a tough ask.
Yeah, I don't think anybody at Alabama is going to give their coach a little leniency. So, got to keep winning. Next up, we have Barry, who says, Coach, it's almost time for St. Patrick's Day. I don't get the whole corned beef and cabbage thing. What is your assessment of this?
I was actually having a conversation the other day with a couple people about the corned beef and cabbage. Well, here's the deal. All right, here's the deal. A core belief and core philosophy of Coach Taylor. I don't criticize something I don't know much about, right? So if I don't know much about it, either one, I shut up, or two, I'm going to research it. So I haven't researched it. I know it's a thing that that I want to say. Hopefully I'm using the right term, but the Irish are big into corned beef and cabbage on that day. So let them enjoy corned beef and cabbage, and everybody be happy, and drink green beer.
Gwendolyn would like to know, what phone app do you use the most?
Ooh, great question. I found a little snazzy app. I found a golf app. It's called WGT Golf. WGT Golf. And I have to, one of the main reasons why I'm so glad I'm not on social media, you can be on your phone way too long messing around with foolishness when you should be working. But WGT Golf is a snazzy little app that I love. I just fell in love with that thing, man. You can play a bunch of different courses, and you can upgrade your person to be a better golfer. It's fun. It's very fun.
Next up, we have Edgar. He says, Coach, I have to be honest with you. I'm reaching into my 40s, and I'm still trying to figure out how I get to be a very mature person. At what age did you finally feel, quote, all grown up?
Wow. That's a deep question. When I had a house and a mortgage. I had people I was responsible for, and you know, coaching full time for a paycheck. I'd probably say, you know, when I bought my first house back in 2007. Yeah, I mean, you know, because when you're renting, and it's nothing against renting an apartment, because I mean, I think that's a cool way to go too, if that's a style that fits. But when you're pouring into something, you're getting equity in something, it's like, wow, like, I'm a homeowner at 27 years old. That was kind of cool, and it was very interesting. So,
and Coach, what are our words of wisdom for the week?
Yeah, words of wisdom, again, sometimes I just take things I address the team with. I probably mentioned this in some sort of a way on this show before. I'm pretty sure I have. I have a bunch of little sayings, but everybody thinks it's about who you know. You know, and I used to think that a lot, man, when I was 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 years old, coming up in the coaching ranks. Oh, I know this guy, and I know that guy, and I know this guy, and I know that. I knew those guys, but did they really know me, right? It's not about who you know. It's about who knows you. You know, so I told those guys that, man, how you carry yourself and how you present, how you show up, if you have to do a job, how you do it, you know, it's about who knows you. It's not about who you know. It's about who really knows you as a person and what you're really about. So that was the message for the guys, and hopefully everybody will appreciate that one.
I like it. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for listening.